Thank you, Steve, and let me welcome you to the house of God. It appears we're getting back to a little more normal. We're social beings, and being Christians, we are members of His body, and we like to be together, and we need to be together. It's important that we be together in the house of God. And so today, for the first time in 3 or 4 months, we will be observing the Lord's Supper. We'll be coming to the Lord's table. My message for this communion hour is Jesus, the resurrection. Now, I purposed months and months ago that when we came to the communion table, I would look at one of the names of the second person of the Holy Trinity. There are well over 100 names through the Word of God given to the second person of the Holy Trinity. His first name is the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. And then in the last chapter of Revelation, he is the bright and morning star and the Amen. And between those passages of Scripture, there are hundreds of references or names for the Son of God. We're talking today that Jesus is the resurrection. And every time we come to the resurrection of our Lord, we're on holy ground. And spiritually, we want to do as take off our shoes and fall on our faces and cry, "Holy, holy, holy." We're to keep in memory how He died for our sins and He was buried. You bury dead people and He rose again. That's the pure gospel. That's the everlasting gospel. That's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Paul said, "Remember, Christ was raised from the dead according to my gospel." And this glorious gospel is this: Jesus was crucified and He is risen. In John 11:25 and verse 26, we see both the physical and the spiritual resurrection. The spiritual resurrection is found in verse 26 when Jesus said, "He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And the Christian will never really taste the sting of death. We were dead spiritually in trespasses and sins, but through the new birth, we have spiritual life. And we shall never come into condemnation. We're passed from death unto life. We've confessed with our mouth, we've believed in our heart that God raised His Son from the dead. And then in verse 25, Jesus speaks of physical resurrection. "Though you die, you shall live again." There's coming a day when the trumpet shall sound, the Lord shall descend, the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed. Let me begin by saying that Jesus is the resurrection. If we spend a lifetime of meditation, we could never plummet the depth of His truth. The Bible says, "Deep calleth unto deep." The deep of God calls to the deep of our soul. And Paul put it this way, "that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings." Jesus is the I Am of the Old Testament. When God said to Moses, "I want you to go to Egypt, I want you to deliver my people out of that country," Moses said, "When I go to Pharaoh, who will I tell him sent me?" And he said, God said, "Moses, you tell Pharaoh, I am that I am sent you. I am what I am. I am from everlasting to everlasting. You tell them I am sent you." And the I Am of the Old Testament, Jesus is the I Am of the New Testament. He says in John's Gospel, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And I am the resurrection." Martha said, "Lord, I know He's going to be raised in the last day in the general resurrection." There is no general resurrection. There'll be the resurrection of life, and there'll be another resurrection of the dead. And the resurrection is more than just an event. It's more than something just happening. The resurrection is more than just doctrine. It's more than theology. Resurrection is a person. It's Jesus. The Old Testament saints died in the faith. They were buried. It says they slept in the dust of the earth. And David said, oh, I'm waiting for that day. You're not going to leave my soul in the grave. I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You see, they died embracing the promise that there would be a resurrection. They really did not know that a resurrection is a person. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, he's a giver of all life, physical, spiritual, eternal, abundant. All life came from him. But secondly, I want you to notice that Jesus spake early of his resurrection. The resurrection was not something that he talked about as he came toward the end of his ministry and life. And I've been around people when they come to the end of life, they want to talk about heaven and future. The Gospel of John presents Jesus as the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and the Word declared God. And Jesus began his ministry as the Word declaring God. And he began that ministry in his hometown of Nazareth. Now, you and I know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He was born there because of his parents. They were obedient citizens of the government. They went there for taxation, and while they were there, Mary gave birth to Jesus in a barn, in a manger, and then they returned to Nazareth. And Isaiah the prophet said that Jesus would begin his ministry in Galilee. In fact, he moved his headquarters from Nazareth to Capernaum. Capernaum is a northern part of the Sea of Galilee, and most of his ministry was in Galilee. He met those fishermen, Peter, James, and John, there at Capernaum. Peter's mother-in-law lived at Capernaum. And early on in his ministry, he came to Jerusalem and during the Passover, and while he was there, he preached a sermon, and that sermon was on the resurrection. He said, destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it. He said, as Jonah the prophet was 3 days and nights in the belly of the well, so shall the Son of Man be. The resurrection was his theme from the very beginning to the end of his life. And it was the theme of the New Testament church. Peter could stand on the day of Pentecost and say, you crucified Christ, but God raised him from the dead. Why should it be thought a thing impossible or incredible that God could raise the dead? We're fearfully and wonderfully made from the clay of the earth, and he's able to do it again. Now, Jesus spake of his own resurrection. And I think we need to understand that there are at least 8 different resurrections mentioned in the Bible, not counting those that were resurrected when our Lord was crucified. But Jesus was the only person who never had to die again. All the others had to die. Jesus spoke often of his resurrection. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it. He kept telling his disciples, I must be killed. I must be crucified and be raised again the 3rd day. Repeatedly he told them that. And then in John 15, Jesus said, I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. As a good shepherd, Jesus laid down his life for the sheep, and all we like sheep have gone astray. But he declared himself to be God by the resurrection of the dead. The tomb was empty. A Sunday school teacher had just 8 students in her class, and in April she asked them to tell them what they thought about life. She gave them an empty container And she said, I want you to put in that container what you think about life and the spring of the year. And there was a boy in the class, not really the sharpest. He had a terminal illness, and he was not the sharpest student in the class. And she gave each one of them an empty container, and they were to put in that container what they thought represented spring of the year and life. And she hesitated to give Stephen one because of his condition. He was slower than the other students of the class. And when the containers were brought to her desk, she opened the one, and she found in it a tiny flower. And she said, well, that does represent life. And the little girl said, that's mine. And then the next container she looked in, it was a rock. And she thought, this must be Stephen's. I better push it aside. And the boy said, no, that's mine. There's moss on it. And that moss really represents life. And she said, that's right. And she came to the third one and opened it up, and a butterfly flew out. And the little girl said, that's mine. And she said, yes, that does represent life. And then she came to the fourth one, and it was empty. She said, that must be Stephen's. I'm going to push it aside. And Stephen said, don't push it aside. And the class said, there's nothing in it. And he said, yes, I know. It's empty, but the tomb was empty, and that means new life. Stephen was critically ill and sick. He died that fall. And in his casket, there were eight containers sitting on his casket. They were all empty. The tomb was empty. He came out of the tomb on his own power. He is the resurrection. Jesus displayed resurrection power. Jesus was the resurrection and the life, and therefore no one ever died in his presence. And when Jesus got around dead people, they came to life again. D.L. Moody, as a young man, was called to preach a funeral sermon, and he opened the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and tried to find one of Jesus' sermons on a funeral. And he said, I couldn't find one. Every time Jesus came upon a corpse, it came to life. And no one ever died in his presence. He raised Jairus' daughter. She was 12 years old. The widow's son of Nain was a young man. Lazarus was an adult. Christ can raise the dead, whether it's a child, a youth, or an adult. Whether you've been dead for a day or 6,000 years, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. William Jennings Bryan ran as a candidate for president. And I mention his name because he stopped in Clearfield, Pennsylvania, slept in the Diamond Hotel, and lectured. Now, that would have been an honor to the Clearfield County. When he was in Cairo, Egypt, he was there when they unearthed the pyramids. And in one of the pyramids, there was a container. And in that container, there were seeds. And he was permitted to take some of those seeds, brought them back home. And he said, I planted them. And they came to life. They've been laying there for 3,000 years. And they came to life. There's coming a day when the earth's going to cast out its dead. There's coming a day when the trumpet shall sound, the voice of God shall be heard, and the dead shall be raised, and we shall be caught up together to ever be with our Lord. Jesus spoke of the resurrection in easy-to-understand terms. No one ever spake like Jesus. He spoke with power. He spoke with authority. The poor heard him gladly. Children came to him. They were unafraid of him. The gracious words that came out of his mouth, he could expound scripture, open obscure passages that were hard to be understood. A child was sitting with his parents at Moody Memorial Church when Dr. Harry Ironside was preaching. Now, if you ever read any of the sermons of Ironside, he has a vocabulary like no preacher who has ever lived. And after the service was over, the child said to his parent, I thought you said Ironside was a great preacher. I understood every word he said. He said that our body is like a temple, a building. A building needs a good foundation. Christ is the only foundation, and if our life is built on him, he will raise us up to inherit glory, it says. He said the resurrection is like a grain. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it goes into the ground, it'll come forth. Paul said, so is the resurrection. Our body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Our body will be sown a natural body, it'll be raised a spiritual body. Job said that there's hope of a tree. If it be cut down, it will rise again and live again. And so we, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, shall live. A professor of a biology class, a brilliant man and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, did extensive work on the seed. And he would stand before his class and hold that seed up between his thumb and index finger, and then he would bow before it. And the class wondered why he did this. And he said, I want you to know that I know exactly what's in that seed. I know the carbon, the elements, the amount of fluid. I know exactly what's in it, and I can reproduce that seed exactly. But when I put my seed in the ground, it rots. But when I put the seed that God made in the ground, it springs forth. I have no trouble believing that God, who created these corruptible bodies, will also create a new body without having the same elements, changing it as he does a seed. Jesus assured his disciples of the resurrection while he confounded his enemies. Jesus hid truth from the wise and the prudent, but he revealed it unto babes. The natural man like Nicodemus would look and say, how can these things be? I mean, how can a man be born of the Spirit? How can the Spirit of God come into a man and change a man's life? Yet Jesus, the risen Lord, walks and talks with his own, and the blessed hope of his resurrection blesses and thrills our soul. The critics would say to Jesus, now how can you raise this temple up in 3 days when it took us 46 years to build it? They couldn't understand what he was talking about. John chapter 6 is our Lord's longest discourse. All 60 verses is a lecture that he gave about the bread of life. And let me read verse 39. And this is the Father's will who has sent me, that all which have he has given me I shall not lose, but shall raise him up again in the last days. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days. And the Jews murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? Let me stop there. They believed that Joseph was his father, but the gospel says Mary was his mother and Joseph was his stepfather. The son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know, how is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore murmured, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. And they turned and went away at that hard saying. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbeliever, lest the light of this glorious gospel should shine unto them. The veil is still upon their face today. Jesus, the resurrection, showed himself alive. by many infallible proofs. The tomb was empty. Now the agnostic and the infidel and the atheist, they say the tomb was empty because the women, because they were overtaken with sorrow and tears in their eyes, they missed and went to the wrong tomb. Or it was so dark that they couldn't tell where they were going and they went to another tomb. And then there's a swoon theory that says that they took Christ down from the cross and he wasn't really dead. And when they laid him on the cold stone, he revived and came out of the tomb. Well, the liberal and the modernist and the humanist, they deny the virgin birth, they deny his deity, they deny the atonement, and they deny the resurrection, bodily resurrection, and the second coming of Christ. But the tomb was empty. He was risen indeed, and he appeared to his disciples in the upper room. A week later, he appeared to them again. And we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're together where the Lord meets, and when we gather where God's people are, he'll meet us. And then he appeared to the 12 and to 500 at one time. 500! Now, if you study any events that have occurred in the history of the world, to have 500 people that said they saw it. Now, in this day of modern technology, they can throw a camera on it. But I'm saying before the day of technology, to have 500 people say they saw something, that's unbelievable. They saw Jesus, an old man working in a barber shop, always had the Bible by him. He was shining shoes. And when he wasn't working, he was reading in the Bible. A customer came in one day and said, "Hey, I see you're reading the book of Revelation. Do you know what it means?" And the elder gentleman said, "Yes, I know what it means." "You know what it means? Scholars for centuries have been studying it, and they don't understand it, but you understand it. What does it mean?" And this is what he said. "It means that Jesus is going to win. He's a resurrection, and he's alive." And child of God, we can go to the grave fearless because we know that he's the resurrection. A Mohammedan and a Christian were discussing their religions. The Muslim says that Christ was a prophet and Mohammed was a prophet. What's the difference? The Christian said, "This is the difference. If we were going down the road and came to a Y and we didn't know which way to go and there were two people there, a dead person and a live person, who would you ask for directions?" Why, the Muslim said, "Of course, the living person." And he said, "Precisely. This is the basic difference between Christ and all the other religious leaders of the world. They're dead, but he's alive. I am the resurrection and the life. At the name of Jesus, when the trumpet sounds, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Have you invited this risen Lord into your life and you know he lives? You know he lives because he lives within your very soul. He walks with you and he talks with you and he fellowships with you. And he's more real to you than life itself. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the promises. We thank you for this one who is the resurrection and the life. And Father, I ask as we come to this table this morning, that we would come with a fresh realization of this blessed truth, that He's alive and we shall live forever. Meet us as we gather about your table. May the gospel of how He died with a broken body and shed blood for the atonement of the sins of the world, Father, may that truth grip our soul and bless us as we fellowship together about the table. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.